talk this morning from the subject, a house divided. A house divided. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the praise. We thank you for the worship. Thank you, Lord, for setting the atmosphere in this place this morning to receive the word. My prayer, Lord, is that you'll use me as a weak and broken vessel that I am. That you'll speak to me, speak through me, Lord, that I may speak the truth to your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And if you receive that, come on and open your mouth and praise the name of the Lord. This morning, and again, we thank you so much for coming out this morning. We thank you. We thank you, and I hope that I'm blessing someone this morning. This morning, I'm going to be challenged. I'm going to be challenged in the way that for you that come on Wednesday night, you know that there's a difference between coming to Wednesday night worship and coming to Sunday morning worship service. I don't mean to offend, but let me say something how I really feel.
All right.
And that is, on Sunday morning, it's a little bit difficult to preach on Sunday morning. It's more challenging to preach on Sunday morning because the spirit sometimes is not flowing. And though it seems like because there's more people here on Sunday morning that there would be a natural flow of spirits, the truth is on Sunday morning there's more blockage.
Uh-huh.
Now I don't want you to stop coming on Sunday. You keep coming. We're going to iron out those things. But when you come on Wednesday night, it seems like people that are here on Wednesday night, they're more open to receive what's coming forth. And I think the truth of the matter is, I'm a much better teacher than I am a preacher. I know that about me. You have to be able to know your weaknesses. And so on Wednesday night, we're able to take things, chop it up, and we just talk about stuff, and we just go forward. And we don't have structure that much on Wednesday night. And the Holy Spirit kind of steps in, and the Holy Spirit kind of takes over on Wednesday night. Where on Sunday morning, I'm concerned sometimes, and I shouldn't be, I'm concerned about that clock that I'm looking at back there. Because I know you're concerned. Because I know you want to get out so you can go and you can beat the crowd to the restaurant that you want to go to. So I know what you're thinking as well. And I'm mindful of the time. I shouldn't be. But I'm mindful of the time because about 11:15, you guys are ready to go. Okay? So on Sunday morning, all this stuff is going on. Unlike on Wednesday night. And so on Wednesday night, sometimes I reserve teachings that I can really talk about stuff that is offensive. So I'm going to talk about something this morning that may not be a Sunday morning sermon. It may be a Wednesday night teaching.
All right.
I'm going to talk about a house divided tonight. On Friday night, I went home after ministering over at Perfected Ministry. I went home and showered, and me and my son kind of hung out for a while, and on and on. And I went to bed, and I woke up about 1 o'clock. When I woke up about 1 o'clock, God put something in my spirit. I woke up with something in my spirit, and it is a house divided. Now, sometimes in preaching the gospel, you have a delayed response to what you preach to.
Yes, sir. Yes.
So in essence, preachers will understand this, is that sometimes when you're preaching, you don't feel what you're preaching.
That's right. That's right.
The truth of the matter is, sometimes when you're preaching, you're not even there.
That's
you don't
right.
even know.
Right.
And so sometimes people will say, this ministered to me or that, and I have no idea what you're talking
right.
about.
That's right.
It's when you pray and you say, God, have your will. I'm just a weak and broken vessel.
Yeah.
You give God permission to have his way with you. And so you just kind of step out and let the Holy Spirit just step up. I'm going somewhere with this. And so when God woke me up, he woke me up with this thing about a house divided. And to finish this thing with Joshua, Joshua chapter number 24, because Joshua starts out being on fire for the Lord because Moses was dead. And at the end of Joshua, now Joshua says, I'm facing death too. I don't know what you're playing with in life, but on your deathbed, you're serious about what you're talking about. I don't know what it is that you do in life to make you feel comfortable in all of this, but in your last hours, people are serious. I'm yet to go to the hospital and somebody's lying on their deathbed and they're talking about, I wish I could have made that type of investment. I wish I could have did this and I wish I could have did this. When people are on their deathbed, they just want to know, how is my relationship with God? I just want you to pray for me. I just want you to pray with me, because I know I made some mistakes in life, but the grace of God is sufficient for all of my mistakes. On a person's deathbed, they have that one-on-one relationship with God, while all the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. What if we knew when we were going to die? How would you treat your today? The stuff that you worried about, a little power bill, something somebody said about you, would that really be important to you today if you were going to die tonight? We got to learn to put stuff in the proper perspective. Joshua found himself on his deathbed. And on his deathbed, he says, I have 24 chapters to work this thing out. I've done what God has called me to do. Now it's time for me to look to the hill, which all of my blessings has to come for. And so Joshua says, I know that I'm dying. And I know that I'm dying, but what I have to do is establish my house. Now I'm going to be messy this morning. Joshua is saying, I know that I'm saved, but I'm not sure about everybody in my house. I want to ask you to stick your hands up to say whether or not your husband or your wife or your child is saved this morning. But this is what I do know. The Bible declares that we should be equally yoked.
That's what it says.
Okay? Now, to be equally yoked means, in essence, that we're tied to the same God, but it doesn't mean we're in the same place. You'll make a mistake trying to treat husband and wife in the church as though they are in the same place.
That's right.
You'll hurt yourself.
That's right.
Because husband and wife can be in the same church but have a different commitment to God. I told you I'm going to be messing this morning. And so in essence, what God is saying through Joshua is that in order for the house not to be divided, we got to be serving the same God. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, it says now that the two should come together. And the two becomes one. Now, notice what your Bible says, because we incorrectly stop at one, because the Bible says that they should be one flesh. Now, that means they should be one body. One body. The Bible doesn't declare that automatically there'll be one spirit.
That's right.
There'll be one soul.
Right.
It takes time and prayer for a husband and wife to get on one accord. You can live with someone, sleep with someone, and still not be on one accord. You can live with someone and more hell come out of your house, even though you say told you that. Y'all thought that was reserved just for me. But your spirit, soul, and body. When you get married, your body comes together. When you have sex. Ooh, in the church. Y'all are looking there. When you have sex, the two joins together and become one flesh. The two of you is now one. So every time God looks at you, He looks at you from the perspective of your household. But He's not looking at your spirit man and your soul. The difference between spirit, soul, and body. Your body is this what you see. Your spirit is that third of you that is reserved to commune with God. On communion, you come in communion with God. When you have sex, you come in communion with one another. Sex is not for you just to enjoy. That's not the purpose of sex. Enjoy. But that's not the purpose of it. The ultimate purpose of sex is for the two of you to come together and to worship God. And to produce children. The purpose of sex is for the two of you to come together and to worship God. And to produce children. Did you get that? So if you take worship out of sex, you're missing the point. Now, the Bible declares that we overcome Satan by the words of our mouth, the blood of the Lamb, and the testimony, that we have. Okay? So everything that you go through in life is to put you in a place where you can minister better to people. So when the two comes together, the two becomes one. God says, I receive that. Even if you marry the person that God did not choose for you to marry. When you marry that person, God says, I'll accept that. It can be jacked up. You can marry for the wrong reason, but God says, I accept that. Now, marriage is a picture, is a representation of Jesus Christ's marriage to the church.
Yes, sir.
You get that?
Yes.
That's why I don't understand really why two unsaved people will get married. That's okay.
I got you.
If you don't believe God, marriage is to represent God's union with the church. Why get married if you're not saved?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. Adultery. Yeah, I forgot about that. So, if two unsaved people get married, they're no longer committing adultery. But all the nine commandments, they're not keeping because they don't believe God. So, one out of ten is failure. See, we have a tendency of looking at sin and looking at how well am I doing in proportion to the Ten Commandments. Let me answer that for you. You're failing. The Bible says if you break one, you broke them all. Now, I don't know about you, but I am forever breaking them all. So what I have to learn in life is to come from under the Ten Commandments, under the law, step into the water so that now I'm covered not by the law, but by the grace of God. Now, grace doesn't give me a ticket to go and sin. What grace says is when I fall short, His love still abounds in my life, so He's still covering me. If I don't need grace, that means I can do all right according to the Ten Commandments. Now, if I break one, I broke them all. says it's impossible for you to live a life outside of me.
Right.
And so God says, come on back to me. Come on back to my house. When you come into the house of God, it's not about the law, it's about the grace of God. Grace meaning unmerited favor of God.
Yes.
Joshua says, you can do what you like to do, but as to me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
Now watch this, because I'm going to twist it here. Joshua says, as for me, my spirit, and my house, meaning my body.
Yes.
My body. So I know it seems like he's saying to you that because of I or my commitment to God, I'm going to take care of my own house. Joshua can't cover his house. Only the grace of God can cover his house.
Yes.
You're responsible for you.
Yes.
Now the Bible declares that if you are saved, that God graced the entire household.
Yes.
He sanctifies the house.
Yes.
He sets the house aside.
Yes.
Because of your salvation.
Yes.
So I'm not saying that just because you are saved that it's not important. It is very important. Because God says in the New Testament that not only are you sanctified, your husband is sanctified, or your spouse is sanctified.
Yes.
He said, I even cover your bad children too.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
He says even your children are sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch how Joshua deal with this thing and setting these folks up to teach them the word of God. He goes back and he brings out history. He says, now therefore fear the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Now when he says fear the Lord, I don't know how you were brought up, but my bringing up was kind of, I don't know, maybe it was unique, because I was brought up in a 7-day church. And so Ricky, every Friday, Gladys said, turn the TV off on Friday. Were you raised that way? On Friday nights, you had to turn the TV off. Because Friday night was the beginning of the Sabbath day. Oh, Lord. Now, before you go crazy this morning, the Bible declares in the book of Isaiah that when you get to heaven, you're going to worship God on the Sabbath day. Not on Sunday. Sunday, you look at your calendar, Sunday is the first day of the week. It wasn't the first day of the week that God rested. He rested on the Sabbath day. Sabbath meaning rest or seventh day. Now, in the New Testament, God says, I have no respecter day. I have no holy day. Every day of your life is a holy day. So you ought to worship me on Monday like you do on Saturday, and on a Friday like you do on Sunday, every single day. So God is not interested in the day that you act holy. He's interested on the day that holiness shows up in your life, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He doesn't care. Every day is the Lord's day in your life. Every day has to be the Lord's day because your life is the Lord's life. Because he lives through you. So the Bible declares, Joshua says, therefore fear the Lord. Now sometimes what your parents would say to you, listen to me children, your parents would say to you that when you go to church, you ought to be scared of God, and you ought not chew gum, and you ought not play on your cell phone, and da-da-da-da-da. And that's not the fear that God is talking about. See, we say that when children are young, when they grow up, and then they messed up, and we wonder why they messed up, it's because you did it. Because you told them a bunch of Santa Claus lies to them when they were young, and they don't shake it when they come 21, and you say, what's wrong with my child? And God says, you? So Joshua says, fear the Lord. When he says, fear the Lord, what he's simply saying is reverence the Lord.
Reverence.
Now, notice what I'm saying. He says, reverence the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The word reverence means to respect, means to honor because of holiness.
Yes.
That's why I think it's crazy when you say reverend anybody.
That's right. Now you better teach.
Amen.
The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah about God, he says, holy and reverence is my name.
Yes.
God's name.
Yes.
So when you say to a man, Reverend so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, which, by the way, that's not in the Bible for you to call anybody Reverend so-and-so and Reverend this. That's not, that's the fivefold ministry. God says, I gave some apostles. Now, apostle is a person that laid eyes on God, has the mantle to call out what Jesus walked on the earth to do. That's an apostle. I don't know how you say apostle to a man who has never laid eyes on God, but that's a different story. I just want to teach this morning. So he gave some apostles, some prophets. Now, the responsibility of a prophet is just to say to you verbally what God has already said in your heart. If I come to you and I tell you, God told me, Charles, to tell you to give me $1,000, and God has not put that in your spirit, don't you move. Don't you move. God told me to tell you something that he didn't put in your spirit. You say, the Bible says, try the spirit. And if that doesn't line up with my spirit, not me. Because what we have to realize is the anointing that is upon one man is no greater than the anointing that is upon you. It may be different, but it's not better. Fivefold ministry. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists. The responsibility of an evangelist is to get outside of the church and preach the gospel. You ever ran across people in the church and they always want to preach to you? And you say, I'm already saved. Go to Walmart. Preach to somebody at Walmart. Go to the club on Friday night. Preach to somebody at the club on Friday night. But they want to stand in church and quote scriptures to you. And you say, well, maybe I'm already saved. The responsibility of the evangelist is to go ye therefore. That's that great commission, to go outside the church and to teach. The fourth calling or the responsibility of the fivefold ministry is that of pastoring. Now that of pastoring is the responsibility to shepherd the sheep.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You get that?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Watch this. You're not my sheep.
Teach.
You're not mine.
You gotta teach.
And the truth of the matter, I don't even pastor this church.
That's right.
I'm the other shepherd.
Yes, he is.
God better be your pastor. Don't you follow me. I will walk you straight off the cliff. Don't you follow me. I will walk you straight to hell. Don't you follow me. I will walk you straight to the juke joint. Don't you follow me. Not me. Because I got some issues. I told you I'm bipolar. Now I'm telling you I'm tripolar. I got some issues. Follow me as I follow Christ. Hear me.
Yes, sir.
If you're in a church and your pastor is not following Christ, don't you walk behind him, self-included.
That's right.
If it doesn't line up with your spirit,
maybe what?
You just said, thank you, sir, purple bells right here. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It has to line up with your spirit. But now you got to be in church. You got to be in the house.
What's that?
In order for your spirit to line up with God.
That's right.
The fifth of the fivefold ministry is that of teacher.
Uh-huh.
Now, the responsibility of a teacher is to stay in your ear.
Uh-huh.
It's to always always remind you to bring back what God has said in His Word. And that's what Joshua is doing now, is teaching. He's on his deathbed and he says, I need to make sure you understand what God has done for us. He brought us out of Egypt, representation of the world. He brought us out of the world. When he brought us out of the world, he led us across the Jordan River. Everything that came against us, God led us through it, led us across it. Now, we are somewhere in the kingdom of God. Don't forget where you came from.
That's right.
See, it's very easy for us to come into the church and forget what God has done for
us.
But he's the same God yesterday and today and forevermore.
Yes.
You get that?
Yes, sir.
And so what he's teaching is that the fivefold ministry kicks in. And so for the fivefold ministry, it is an apostle that established things. So once the church is established, and it was established, Matthew 16:16, when Jesus established the church through the revelation of Peter, not through some new gospel that a new preacher who wants to be seen today is teaching you. The gospel today better be the same gospel that God said it was on yesterday. So the responsibility of the apostle is to establish. The responsibility then of the prophet, is to point the way. Go this way. The prophet says, God is saying go this way. God is saying do this. And so that's his responsibility. The responsibility of the evangelist, which reaches the furthest of your finger, is to go the furthest. Got it?
Yes, sir.
The responsibility of the pastor, which is your ring finger, is to have a relationship with God. Not with the church.
That's right.
Not with the church.
Amen.
See, because Jesus says, I'm about kingdom business and not about church business. Because if you're about church business, every church has their own little rules, their own little bylaws. But God says, that's not what I'm about. I'm about this word. And this word is true. Don't you believe what man is saying? He says, you need to be in relationship, in union, married to the word of God. Remember, we're still talking about a house divided.
Yes,
you need to be married to the God that you serve. And then he says, then the teacher, which is to stay in your ear. Always. Every time you go to do something, the teacher's in your ear. That's not what God says.
Yes.
That's his responsibility.
Yes.
Now watch this in a house divided. He says, now you have to remember to fear God and to serve him. Contrary to what we believe, serving God doesn't happen on Sunday morning. You come to church not to serve God. You come to church to worship God. You worship God in church. You serve God when church lets up. Serving God is what you do outside of the church. Worshiping God is what you do in the church. So he says, now you are to serve God in sincerity and in truth, and put away your gods. Point number one this morning is traditions. Your gods. Tradition. The Bible says that the traditions of man make the word of God of none effect. In other words, you want to know why God is not moving in your life? It's because we got so many traditions. And the tradition says, I got to go like this. And the tradition says, I got to wear this. And the tradition says, I got to act like this. And the tradition says, I don't need none of that stuff. When I need my God, I need to go boldly to the altar. Don't tell me how to come to my God. If I'm crippled, he'll receive it. If I'm half crazy, he'll receive it. If I'm living in sin, he'll receive it. God is able to do all things but fail. So he says, come as you are. The tradition is a man. We're so caught up. We come to church and God says, move like like this, God, because the program, we're going to stick to the program. And the program said the next thing that's supposed to happen, God said, no, I need to bless you. No, you can't, God, because the program said this, that. I like to come into the house of the Lord. If I feel like running, I'm running. If I feel like praying, I'm praying. If I feel like worship, I'm worship. If I feel like standing up, listen. I don't mean to get in your way because I stand up, but I know what God has done for me. I just want to stand on my feet. If I begin to shout, I don't mean to interrupt your perfect praise. I just got something to shout about. If I feel like crying, I don't mean to mess up your day. I just think about the goodness of God. So, he says you got to put away.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
All of your gods, all of your traditions, which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, back in the world, he says, in Egypt, representing the golden calf, in Egypt, representing material stuff, representing your car, your neighborhood, the name that is before you, the little letters behind your name. God says, I won't bless your position. He says, I'll make your name great. I'm not thinking about your title. I'm not thinking about your position. He says, I'll make your name great. If he makes your name great, folks will open up doors for you because they see the anointing that is upon your life. I'll make your name great.
Hallelujah.
He says, just serve the Lord. And then he says in verse number 15, I told you I want to teach this morning. Then he says in verse number 15, he says, if it seems evil to you. And the truth of the matter is, doesn't even seem to me that that should even be in the Bible. How can serving the Lord be evil to anyone? Watch this. It's not that the evilness is pointed toward God. It's pointed toward you. That's why you got haters in your life. Because you're trying to serve God. And so they see the God in you. And so that's what they like. The truth of the matter is, that's what they dislike. The truth of the matter is, they like you. They just don't like the God that you serve. The truth of the matter is, they like what you run in. They just don't like the God that provides. The truth of the matter is, they like how you living, how you flowing, how you rolling. They just don't like the God that supplied it to you. But you can't have me, and I can't have the self without the God who says I supply all of my needs. You may not like me, but God is still blessing me in spite of you. You may be trying to stab me in the back, but God is saying, listen, it may come, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I thought we teamed up. I thought we came together. And the lie that we told on you was big enough to stop you.
What'd you say?
How you got promoted?
What'd you say?
I told the lie to get you fired.
Jesus.
And God elevated you. He'll use your enemy as your footstool. Keep on lying on me. Keep on talking about me. But the Lord, he's blessing me right now. Right now. The Lord, I give. The Lord, he gives to me. You can't stop what God is doing. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord. In other words, if you offended by my praise, if you are offended by my praise, you know what? I don't care.
I don't care.
Hallelujah. Jesus. I don't care. Because when I look at the goodness of God and where I started from to where I by what you see. Don't be fooled by what you see. When you look at people today and they doing well, you don't know the hell they've been through to get there. Don't you be fooled. When you look at somebody and you want to pass judgment on that person, you don't know the stuff they've been through to get there. When you look at somebody and the title that they have, you don't know what they've been through as a child. And you have the audacity to put your mouth on something. So he says, sit down, sit down.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Folks, see your glory. Don't know your story. Excuse me. Folks, see your stuff. See you standing in church praising God. Don't know the hell you got to go through on Monday morning. Folks, sit in church and you praising God. Don't know you got cancer right now. Folks sit in church, have the audacity to judge you. Don't know what you're going through with your child. They just looking to judge it. That's why I praise it. Because I know tomorrow morning, when the church doors is closed, His love is still open for me. That's why I praise it. Because Liz will call you tonight. You too busy of it. But Jesus is on the main line. That's why I praise Him. When you don't got time for me, He's never too busy. That's why I praise Him. When I don't have food on the table, but He supplied all of my needs. That's why I praise Him. When I don't have a job to go to, but He sends an old worm. He still rains manna from heaven. You looking at me. You looking. Look at him. Look at her. Yet you see the glory, but you don't know the story. You see me today, but you don't know what I was going through 5 years ago. You don't know what it feels like when I lost a loved one. You wasn't there. You were sending some chicken and some juice and trying to get ready for a repast. But you wasn't there for me. You wasn't at night sleeping on the same pillow with me. When tears were rolling down my eyes and God was drying my tears, you wasn't there. Bill's past too scared to answer the phone. And I'm trying to get an education. You wasn't there for me. Took everything, put it on a credit card and a charge card and this card, and now you see somebody with a little title behind their name. You don't know that hell they've been through to get there. Don't you judge. Don't you judge.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
It's all right.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, God.
That's why you praise Him. That's why you praise Him. Folks think it's evil for you to praise God. It don't take all that. Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just act like everybody else? Because God has done something special for me. I can't act like everybody else. Because I was in a bad situation. He did something special for me. He had to cleanse me up.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord,
thank you, Lord.
He says, choose. Choose. There's a choice. He says, you choose. This is Joshua talking to his house. He says, choose. Everybody in your house won't choose with you. I think we set folks up when we tell them the two become one and everything gonna be alright. No, everything gonna be hell from this day forward. That's alright. That's alright. That's alright. It's not gonna be easy. But he says choose. He says choose because personal or an individual choice. It kills me when people in the church says, where's your spouse? Why is your wife? Why is your husband not in the same church with you? Because they say, I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible. When you discover that you're responsible for you, that lightens your load. Because what Satan quite often will do is come through the back door. He'll touch your spouse so that he can pass embarrassment on to you. I want to speak words of encouragement to somebody here. You do you. You're not responsible for your husband. You're not responsible for your wife. You do you. On judgment day, can't nobody stand with you. You do you. Now the two come together as a body, but not as a spirit and not as a soul. Watch this. When the two come together, they have sex, they come together. They're now one. But your spirit is not one. That's a choice. A person can choose to reject God. At the same time they're rejecting God, you're saying yes to God. So the same time that God is giving you an overflow, he can be drying up somebody else. But that's not my responsibility. I'm responsible for me. I have an obligation to pray for my house, but I'm not responsible for what happens in my house. I'm responsible for me. Joshua says, choose. It's a choice. He says, you choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, as for me and this temple, this one, not through a union, not through a marriage, me, as to my spirit and my service which is in this temple, we're going to serve the Lord. Now it seems like Joshua's bipolar, like he's talking to two people, but he's really talking to himself. Every now and then, you got to minister to you. To you. So Joshua says, now ask to me, spirit, and my house, body, you listen. I'm speaking. I ain't talking to you. I'm just talking to myself. We don't come under submission to God. I don't care what Miss Thing does over there. We gonna serve God right here. A house is divided. In closing, I'm gonna say something to you, and I'm gonna say it to you not to bring attention to me, but I want to share a testimony to preferably encourage someone else. So excuse me for being personal in closing this morning. We're talking about a house divided. One of the things that I ask for in leadership in this church is that you're always here 10 to 15 minutes early. It irks me when you're late. I'm a Marine. When you say be at 10, 10 to me means 9:45. Ready to go. That's what it means to me. When God first planted this life-changing thing in my spirit, I used to always ask people to be here 10 to 15 minutes early. At the time, I was married. I was asking people in the church to be at church 10 to 15 minutes early. I was married. A house divided. Nearly every Sunday, my ex-wife would come to church that she would come 15, 20 minutes late and come to the front of the church, excuse me for being personal, and sit right here. And I would always say, it's one thing to be late. Must you come to the front and everybody see? Can you imagine the embarrassment? Man, I need you to be here 10 to 15 minutes early. Patricia, I need you to be here 10 to 15 minutes early. Tracy and Ivana, I need you to be here 10 to 15 minutes early. And your house is late. And you're embarrassed because of that. Watch this. And you're embarrassed because of that. God had to minister to me to say that, Tony, you're responsible for Tony's salvation. That's it. Just your salvation. And when God gets tired of the foolishness, God will move it.
Yes, he will.
God will move it. I'm a living witness. God will move it. God will move it. When God gets tired of the foolishness, God will move it. Now, when God moves it, there's always an aftermath. Always mess. Always something going on. And God says, I'll fight your battles. You sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. But you can't see it until you sit. When you be still, God says, I'll silence all of your critics. I'll take care of that for you. We resist Satan by the words and the blood of the Lamb and the testimony. That testimony is to speak to somebody this morning. I want it to penetrate your heart, your soul, your spirit. Don't you stop serving God because you can't get your spouse to serve where you are. You keep pushing. You keep praising. You keep going. You stay faithful. You're responsible for you. See, in church, we look at one and look at the other. And then we handicap the one that's trying to do because we're pulling them down to the level of the one that's not doing. No. Church must be about building folk up in church, not about tearing people down. Excuse my time this morning, but I'm talking this morning because I need to minister to a household because Satan is after destroying and divorcing. Trust me, I know. He's about that this morning. I need to speak a word of encouragement into a house this morning because you're thinking about divorcing. Because if I step out, all this will all be over. No, baby. It's not over. It's just coming from your house and their house too. It doesn't end. It just multiplies. Divorce is not the answer. The answer is in two people, two children of God coming together, getting on one accord. That's the answer. When you come together, you get on one accord and the communication begins. As long as we're talking about the problems, talking about the issues, God can solve it. It's at the hardness of our heart, where we're so hard, I don't want to talk to you. How you going to live in the same house with somebody and you can't talk to them? That's crazy. You got to talk. Open your mouth, talk about it. Open your mouth, God help us. Open your mouth, I'm lost. Open your mouth and say, God, I don't know what to do. Open your mouth, God, I'm scared. Open your mouth, God, show us the way.
My God.
Open your mouth.
Hallelujah.
Listen to God. Not to Nancy and the glory and the suit.
That's right.
They don't know. And the stuff that worked for them in their relationship, thank God for it. I'm glad y'all still together.
Amen.
But that's not my issue in my house.
Yeah.
I got a different issue. So I need God to do a different thing in my house. And so what we need to do is that, honey, I love you. We need to grab hands and we need to fall on bended knees. And we need to say, God, this is where we are. Rescue this one, Lord. That's what we need to say. God, you know what's going on in my house. So as for me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. In essence, what he's talking about is commitment. I'm committed to you because I know that you commit yourself to me. Just like you get married and it's a commitment, God says if the both of you will commit yourself to me, whatever division that is in your house, he says, I'll still trust him. Trust him. Marriage is not the answer to your life. As a child, we dream of walking down the aisles and how we're going to look and how we're going to dress and who's going to be there. That junk is cosmetic. Trust me. The day after you walk down the aisle comes the real deal. When you wake up. Honey, why your breath don't smell today like it smelled on yesterday? Why you got to wear that? I thought they were cute little panties you had on. What the other stuff, the whole stuff in place? I didn't know all that was under there. Oh, we grown. We grown. We grown. Same place. And I need you, don't beat me up. Yeah. Just love me. Just love me. See, when we understand that the reason the house is divided is because we got a split in the foundation. So we need to go back to God and say, make me over again. Yeah. Relationships are not easy. And the truth is, they're not even beautiful. But if you said, this is what I want, God says, I'll commit to it. Maybe rough sometimes. But if you keep talking to one another and talking to me, he says, I'll make it work for you. I'll make it work for you. I'll make it work for you. That family that is here, that individual that is here, and you say, Lord, this is it. This is the end of it. I need for you to understand he is Alpha and Omega. And he that beginneth a good work in you will see you all the way through. You stay with him. He's going to stay with you. Don't you walk out on God. He won't walk out on you. Come on and stand with me. I want to pray with you while you're standing with me. While you're standing this morning, listen. When you chose that person, you chose that person because of who that person is. And you said to that person, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, God loves you, and I love you, and I chose you. I chose you. And if you chose that person together, choose God. As for me and my house, God, we choose you. Yeah, it's been rough. I backslid, it's been rough. I cheated on you, it's been rough. I took some money and put it over here, it's been rough. I wasn't always faithful and committed, it's been rough. But God, we choose you all over. Let us start it all over again. This is a new day. Father God, I pray for the families that is here this morning. I pray, Lord, especially for the couples that is here. A house divided. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God, I pray that the marriages that is here represent your glory, your union with the church. And that when they see relationships, when they see marriage on earth, they say, that's my God at work. That's my God making way. That's my God forgiving. That's my God touching. That's my God covering. That's my God that's opening new doors. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus.